With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Father's Day, Whitey Gleason, Kyle Madsen. 95.7 The Game. And yes, as we mentioned, Kyle, it's a final from Phoenix. Game one, NBA Western Conference Finals. The Suns won 20, the Clippers won 14. And one of the things that jumps out at you with a quick glance at the box score, Devin Booker, 40 points, 13 rebounds, 11 assists. So no Chris Paul today.
We still like don't know game. When.
Yeah, we still don't know when CP3 will return because of the COVID protocol, but Devin Booker, maybe the bust-out star of this NBA postseason. Not that he wasn't already a star, but my goodness, 40, 13, and 11 for Devin Booker today. Suns 120, Clippers 114.
Man, first, what a time for your first career triple-double.
I didn't even realize it was. How about that? I know he scored 70 in a game. First career triple-double? That is amazing.
Yeah. And I think, too, that's kind of the next. We knew Devin Booker could score. But there's a lot of guys in the NBA that can score, and they never play for good teams. Devin Booker's not only surrounded by a lot of really talented players that take some of the onus off of him. In fact, James Jones, their general manager, just won Executive of the Year, and he should. The team that he's built, and then you add Chris Paul to help kind of guide
stabilize
that club.
Yeah.
I think you see the effects of that and the growth with Devin Booker, which is where I was going. This is not something he could do. They did not used to be able to put the ball in his hands and say, go run the offense. They did that today. He was effectively their point guard today. I know Cameron Payne started, but Devin Booker was effectively their point guard today. He dishes out 11 assists. He has 40 points. He pulls down 13 boards. There was another step to his game if he was going to kind of reach that next tier, and he's done it in the postseason, which is kind of the most important time to do it. And
yeah,
without Chris Paul.
Yes, campaign did play well for his part. Yeah, 29 minutes, he had 11 points. He had 9 assists, but Devin Booker led the way for the Clippers today. Paul George with 34, Reggie Jackson with 24. And then the only other guy in double figures for the Clippers, their bench played well. Other than Paul George, Reggie Jackson, do you know who the only other Clipper was in double figures? DeMarcus Cousins today. 11 points for DeMarcus Cousins in 13 minutes. Yeah.
I did not realize DeMarcus Cousins was playing for the Clippers until today.
Yeah.
I legitimately don't think I knew he was on the Clippers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mentioned Ayton, a key factor here, and the Clippers like to go small. And apparently, DeMarcus, somebody got to slow him down. And DeMarcus put up some decent numbers today. But yeah, bench played well. Clippers clear. And you made the point, and you saw the game. The Clippers, a little bit out of gas down the stretch. Suns taking full advantage of that. Paul George with, as I said, 34 today, but Devin Booker,
man,
the story. And now we get a Game 7 tonight. Speaking of Father's Day and Game 7, we touched on this yesterday, Kyle. Yesterday was the actual anniversary. Today, of course, is Father's Day, but yesterday was the anniversary of Game 7, Father's Day 2016, the Cavaliers over the Warriors. So we talked about that a lot on the show yesterday that I did with Jason. Then I was going through channels, getting ready to watch the Bucks and the Nets, and they were showing it on NBA TV, and I recorded it. I haven't watched it back yet, but my goodness, how differently do you think we'd look at the Warriors in basketball history if the Warriors had won that game?
It's like, man, so if I'm of the mind that the Klay Thompson Game 6 against Oklahoma City was like the most consequential game in NBA history.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Oh, because because that affected where Durant ended up? Is that where
they
you're
fell,
going?
Okay. Fell short of the finals again, and then the Warriors go on to the finals and wind up losing their 3-1 series lead and put kind of everything in motion for Durant. But you could also argue that Game 7 did the same thing, because if they win, Durant may not come here. But
yeah.
But if Klay doesn't have his Game 6, the Thunder probably win the title. I don't think the Thunder were losing to that Cavs team. So, I try to block it out. I'll never watch it again.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to bring up painful memories on a holiday, but that's kind of what I do sometimes.
No, it's fine. You just stick the knife in and then twist it. That's cool. I get it. I've poked some fun at you during Jockerty every Thursday at 12:48, and I've done it here on some Sundays before we, hand it off to you and Coz on the normal schedule.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
No,
mm-hmm.
I get why you would do this.
Payback, baby.
Yeah, it's pretty rough, but yeah, it's wild to think how different. Because Kevin Durant probably doesn't come to Golden State, and Golden State's now running it back, and they are the undisputed best team of all time.
Right.
There's no
That's
way
it.
You could go 73-9, win the title, and blow through the playoffs too. Like it was like not even hard, and you go win the finals 4-1 or even 4-2, win it in 5 or 6. Like they are the undisputed. That's the team of teams, and I think that. The Steph Clay and Draymond trio is held in even higher esteem than they are.
Yeah, I'm with you. Even if Durant doesn't come, if they win, if the Warriors win that, and even if they kind of limp in to win that Game 7 after Draymond got suspended, came back,
right.
And Steph, as we know, was a little bit hobbled. But you're right. If you win 73 games and then you win the championship, you're second in a row. It's like anytime anybody's talking about greatest teams ever, well, we know who it is.
Right.
Right?
They're right.
Just flat out. No matter what was going to happen after that, if Durant comes or not, if it fell apart, whatever happens, well, you know who the greatest team ever is. So in that, I could see how. I think for a lot of Warrior fans, we talked about this yesterday, there's just that little hollow spot, right? And
yeah.
In a way, winning the next two helped, but still it's like, nope, that was the one that it was just there for him. I just remember how stunned I was that they didn't actually take care of business there. And it's all, credit to LeBron with the block and Kyrie with the huge shot. But it was absolutely stunning.
The crazy thing is, and again, I have not gone back and watched the game, so my memory's a little foggy, is the Kyrie jumper came with like 2 minutes left? Like a minute and a half, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go try and find it right now. But, the Warriors just tightened up and then didn't score down the stretch. I think the final of that game was like 93-89.
I believe that's correct.
It wasn't like an awesome game, but it just kind of, it is the ultimate what if. And Durant coming definitely helped, and winning the next two definitely helped. But it's always going to be that what if. And we've lost the fact that they won 73 games that year.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which needs to be noted. Like, forget the play. They went 73-9.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that as history kind of goes on, that gets held up a little more. But I understand you blow a 3-1 finals lead. That's what's going to be the headline of that season. But 73-9 is insane. Real quick, I have the box score here. Klay Thompson made a jumper with 4:39 left to tie the game at 89. And the Warriors didn't score again. Over the final 4 minutes and 39 seconds, Kyrie hits the three. That came with 53 seconds left. Sorry, again, I misremembered. He hit the three at 53 seconds left. And then LeBron had the near dunk on Draymond Green. He hit one of the two free throws. It's all he needed to hit. That made it a 4-point game, and the Warriors lose.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't score for the final 4 minutes and 39 seconds. Brutal.
You look at the winningest teams in history. The Bulls, of course, 96, 72, and 10 won the championship. The Lakers in 72, 69 and 13 won the championship. The Bulls in 97, 69 and 13. the 76ers in 67, 68, and 13. They all won the championship, but at the very top, 73-9, Warriors lost NBA Finals. Oh, yeah, we all know it. It's just one of those things that just seemed like, wow, that one doesn't mean as much, right? Well, yeah, 73 is like, yeah, but, and I know Bob Myers, and bless him, after that happened, he said, look, we won 73 games. No one had ever done that before. You know what? And that stands on its own. But it just doesn't. Unfortunately, it just doesn't.
Well, it does, but the regular season doesn't matter. Look at the way the regular season gets treated now. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't – players take games off and, you know – A guy will have a monster. Giannis could have a monster regular season. Like, okay, can he do it in the playoffs? So that's just the nature of NBA fandom now. The regular season doesn't count. It does. It counts as far as it gets you into the playoffs.
Right.
But what you do, you could be the worst player in the history of the NBA for 82 games. But if you come up and you average a triple double through those 16 games in the playoffs or 20 games in the playoffs, however many you play. If you average a triple-double, you are considered one of the best players in the league. That's just how it goes. So while the 73-9 does stand on its own, it stands on its own in this tier of NBA history that just doesn't matter. Nobody cares about the regular season.
Right. Yeah. Well, I apologize to you and to all Warrior fans because I did talk about it yesterday. I just know
they brought it up again.
I know. My bad. That's a flagrant two. Unnecessary and excessive, but every Father's Day I think of that, and I know I always will, because of just how surprising that was. And of course we know what it led to, changed the course of basketball history, but who knows? Well, as you say, we do know. If the Warriors had won that, they're the greatest team ever, period, no debate. Oh well.
So after that game, I watched it alone in my apartment in Arizona, and
that is such a sad story.
Here's the problem. They went up 3-1, and I'd watched pretty much all the games at my house or in my apartment. I was like, all right, I'm going to go watch game 5 out somewhere. Game 5 did not go well.
Yeah.
I'm going to go watch game 6 out somewhere. Game 6 gets off to a bad start. I'm out of there. It's like, watching game 7 by myself. Game 7 happens. They lose. I see Mo Spates throw one at the basket, turn the game off. Didn't need to see anything else. Laid down on my couch just in silence for like 25 minutes. Turned my phone off. I didn't want to hear from anybody. I didn't want to do anything. So I was watching Orange is the New Black, the show on Netflix. And I was watching that at the time. And spoiler alert for Orange is the New Black, in case anybody's into that, turn your radio down for 30 seconds here. I turned it on because I was like, I'm going to watch anything besides basketball. I'm turning on Orange is the New Black. That's what I'm going to watch. And it's an episode where a very prominent, beloved character dies.
Oh, man.
and I'm like, man, I can't get away from this. So I just went, I turned up my TV. I'm not a go on walks guy. I went on a walk. I walked around my apartment complex out to the neighborhood.
How hot was it? You're in Arizona, right?
Yeah, it was, you know, probably in the an evening in the middle of summer in Arizona is probably, you know, in the high 90s. Walked down. I'm a beer guy. I like beer. I grabbed a 25-ounce Budweiser. Not a thing. Like, who is that? I get that. That's just what I grabbed at the gas station. I didn't care what it was. I was like, I'm grabbing this. It was the first thing I saw. And I took that back to my apartment, and I drank it in silence.
She wanted to get drunk.
I did.
You know who wants to share his memories of that day with us, Kyle? Nice enough to join us here, 888-957-9570. He's been your partner. He's been my partner. Shamari Block joins us on 95.7.
Oh, thank God. Shamari, help
Shamari.
Me.
Yeah, happy Father's Day. Shamari, how are you?
Happy Father's Day, Whitey, man. I'm doing good. I'm on my way up the freeway to go see my father and do that whole thing with him. There's going to be some barbecue, some wine, all that stuff. But I'm checking you guys out, and you are you're talking about the 73-9 season. And, oh, you know, I have all the feelings, all the feels, man, all the stomach-churning kind of feeling, man. But I wanted to ask you in particular, Whitey, remember a couple weeks ago we were saying, what's the most surprising teams in Bay Area history? And we went over the Niners, yeah. We went over the Harbaugh Niners, you know, we went over the Giants in 2012. But how about for the other side of it? Because I don't ever, ever in life remember being more surprised when the Warriors lost those finals to that Cavs team after being so dominant.
That's a good point. Yeah, I remember I told this yesterday, Shamari. I remember after game four, and then LeBron in the post game was talking about something Draymond did, and I think he says, I don't know if he'll be suspended. I remember whipping my head around and go, what? What did he say? What is he talking about? Yeah, and even then, right down the wire, game seven, Kyle, I was right there with Shamar. It's like, and I've told this story, not to belabor it, but my wife was a huge Warrior fan. She's like, oh, I'm so nervous. Like, they're going to win. They're going to win. Don't worry. And when they didn't, I mean, and she was really mad at me, but I was so sure that thing was in the bag. It just seemed like it was destiny. That's what it was. Yeah. It seemed like it's that team's destiny to win the championship this year.
Yeah, it felt that way for sure. One that sticks out to me, though, because once it got to 3-2 and the Cavs were kind of dominant in that game five, It was a little bit for me like, uh-oh. Like, maybe, you know, and then they win game six and all bets were off. But when the Warriors were up 3-1, yeah, that's the most surprising because – the way they won game four, it was like the Cavs have nothing for this team. Like the Cavs just don't have, there's nothing the Cavs are going to do except, you know, and then Draymond gets suspended and Kyrie and LeBron both go insane with their shot making. But yeah, I the 49ers Super Bowl loss to the Ravens sticks out because it was like, they're not losing to Joe freaking Flacco and old ass Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. Like there's just no chance. And then they did.
They did.
But I agree with you guys. That when they went up 3-1, it was like, this is a wrap. The Cavs, there's nothing the Cavs are going to be able to do to win the next three. And they did.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Shamari, great to hear from you. Hopefully we're on the air again together soon. Thanks, Shamari Block, 95.7 The Game. From Vallejo, me and Shamari. They actually let two guys from Vallejo do a show, Kyle. I couldn't. Now, to me, that was a huge surprise that they let two guys from Vallejo do a show. Wonderful.
It's really nice of them, actually, but it's two very upstanding Vallejans, Vallejoites.
Vallejoans.
Two of the people from the Valley Joe, you guys are both way up the list. Top 10,000 for sure.
Thank you. Now you're just making fun of me. Not to belabor this because it's not a pleasant topic, but to answer Shamari's question, and you know, you've addressed this, the games you're watching that just stunned you, like I can't believe what I just saw in a bad way, of course, and it was the Kirk Gibson home run, game one, 1988 World Series, and I don't know if you were even old enough to see that, but that was one of those like, that can't happen. You know, as you watch, it's like, no, that's not a thing. He can't walk. How did he hit a home run off Dennis Eckersley? He literally cannot walk around the bases. How does that happen? And that whole series in 88, like the Dodgers with like nobody. It's like fan appreciation night. Who can catch? Is there anybody from Kyle's travel ball team that we can put in the lineup tonight? And they beat that A's team. And it all started with that Kirk Gibson walk-off. Eckersley. It was literally, we say that about things, it was literally hard to believe as you watched. It was hard to process it.
Not only, Whitey, do I not remember the Kirk Gibson home run? I was not alive for the Kirk Gibson home run. But here's how impactful. Here's
weak
how,
excuse, here, nonetheless.
You call yourself a fan? Here's how impactful that home run was. I, to this day, will turn it off if, like, that play is on something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see – I don't need to – his stupid fist pump, like, get him out of my face. Tommy Lasorda running out of the dugout with his arms up. Like, get it all out of my I hate it. And I was not even born.
Right.
I wasn't even a thought yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I still can't stand that. So yeah, that one's up there. And not to mention that A's team was just so much better than the Dodgers. And then you can fast forward 2 years, getting swept by the Reds in 90.
Mm-hmm.
The A's were such a better team than the Reds.
I know. One of the things I'll always remember about that is, you know, Tony, skipper, Tony La Russa.
Yeah.
And he has that great team, and they win one, and then he wins more later on with the Cardinals. And I think he might have said this in an interview he did on this station. He basically said he learned from those mistakes, which is great. Mm. And I think Boach said the same thing. In 98, Boach was in the World Series with the Padres, and they got swept by the Yankees, but they really had a chance early on to win some of those games at least. And Boach learned from that. And I think Tony La Russa learned from that. I think those teams were just too tight. They were so much better. Especially that Dodger team. I still can't believe that happened. So good for him. I mean, smart enough to learn from his mistakes. Those losses helped make Tony La Russa the great manager that he later became.
Good for him. Good. Glad two A's World Series losses springboarded old TLR to fame and fortune with the Cardinals.
Yeah, it's tempting here. Yeah, David on the text line. I wonder if Texas Rangers fans can watch Game 6 of the 2011 World Series.
Man.
We could dive headlong into that. I'm not even going to mention Derek Jeter. I'm not going to mention the flip. I'm just not doing it, Kyle. I'm not going to subject people.
The hell is your deal, dude?
I'm not doing that today on this holiday.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're not going there. We're not going there.
It's one thing. It's one thing to hit me with something from when I was in my 20s. Hit me with something that happened before I was a teenager is low. And something that I thought you, as a proud Vallejan, were above. I thought, I can't believe you would do this to me and A's
Shamari
fans everywhere.
Shamari started it. You heard. Shamari started it.
No, he didn't. He was just trying to help commiserate. And here you go twisting the knife even more.
Nope.
You know, this is causing me serious psychological harm.
I know.
It is.
We move on. Where it's Father's Day, it's a holiday. Baseball. Hey, it's a great baseball season. Kyle, what kind of impact do you think this may have tomorrow? MLB has given umpires the authority to randomly start checking pitchers and eject pitchers if they're found to be incorporating some kind of foreign substance. It's kind of funny because they already have these rules, and yet baseball had to go way out of their way to come up with, what are we going to do? We're going to issue a memo, and then we'll tell you in 2 weeks what we're going to do. That's what they're going to do. It starts tomorrow. How do you think this is going to go?
What they came up with is, hey, you know what? We're going to enforce our own rules. Baseball sucks at this, dude. They don't enforce their actual rules. They do enforce rules that don't exist. What the hell is going on? Like, guys, we don't know what we're going to do. Give us 2 weeks. We'll release a memo. They had a meeting, dude. Whitey, they had a meeting. They took time out of people's days to get on Zoom or get in a conference room or whatever they're doing to get on a conference call and go, all right, guys, what are we going to do about this? It's like, well, let me open the rule book here. we could just enforce Rule 9, Section 3A. Johnson, you're brilliant.
Kyle, how about this? Speaking of the Dodgers and the A's, not to take you back down that painful path, but the Dodgers and the A's this year were... No, they are playing this year, right? Trevor Bauer's pitching, and they're removing baseballs during the game. And somebody asked Bob Melvin, he's like, I don't, that wasn't me. I don't know what that was about. And it was baseball collecting evidence that pitchers were doctoring the baseball. So rather than enforce the rule, go, hey, what do you got there? There's glue on the baseball. You can't do that. No, it's like, oh, we got to collect these baseballs. We got to collect all these baseballs. baseballs and evidence, and then we'll figure out what to do. Rather than, to your point, just actually enforcing the rules that are already in place. It's just so ludicrous. It's absurd.
And I saw somewhere, I forget who had the story. I think it was Buster Olney with ESPN had the story that's like three managers have come forward and said that they're going to do away with the unspoken agreement. That, like, hold on, wait. You could have been enforcing these rules the whole time. And the managers have chosen not to. It is, it's insane. It's the whole baseball apparatus and this unspoken, unwritten, and we'll enforce these rules. But these rules can be enforced, but there's an unspoken agreement to not enforce them. It's unbelievable. And all people want to do is just say, hey, the stuff that allows a pitcher to have a fastball that doesn't drop at all and stays on an unhittable plane, and that allows you to snap off a 97 mile an hour slider that goes from the outer half and winds up at a batter's back foot. Like, can we stop that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and MLB is going to do away with everything. And now I'm fascinated. I don't mean to step on here, but I'm fascinated to see exactly how managers go about enforcing this.
Well, yeah, you're right. Here's the story today that you alluded to. With baseball set to order umpires to enforce the foreign substance rule starting Monday, at least three teams intend to set aside that old agreement, according to sources, that prevents managers from challenging the searching the opposing pitchers whom they suspect of using foreign substances. That old agreement, that's out the window starting tomorrow, at least with three teams.
Come.
Yeah. Tell you why baseball is doing this and why baseball has gone out of its way to avoid this conflict. We have that coming up. Also, Kyle, we will swipe right or left on the hottest sports stories of the week as we head down the home stretch on this Father's Day. Thanks for listening to Whitey and Kyle Madsen on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Whitey Gleason, Kyle Madsen with you, 95.7 The Game. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the participation at 888-957-9570. Even if it's participation like this from the 510, Whitey Gleason is Ben Simmons, way overpaid and underperforms. That's fine. I don't mind being compared to Ben Simmons, except when it comes to free throw shooting, because, Kyle, I can make my free throws. I can make my free throws, okay?
I don't doubt
Liar!
That. No, I actually believe you.
Mm-hmm.
I bet of all the basketball things to be good at, I bet that's the thing you're really solid at.
Wow. You're just rounding into form here.
Yeah.
Really sharpening your edge as we head down the home stretch. Maybe you've had that blade down, you know, behind your back the whole time, and now you're just figuring, well, we're almost done here, so...
Well, I mean, if you're gonna hit me with the 2016 Game 7, and then you're gonna throw Jeter at me, and then you're gonna come back with Kirk Gibson, and you're gonna talk about all the things Tony La Russa learned while losing with the A's. I mean, it's honestly, it's amazing that I didn't bring out the blade earlier.
But I didn't mention, that was the whole point of not mentioning Jeter. I said, I'm not going to mention it. So I was doing you a favor there. Anyway, okay. I'm not mentioning Jeter. Here's another name that relates to what we're talking about here with baseball, the problem baseball has. Have you heard of Emmanuel Clase of the Cleveland Indians? Emmanuel Clase. Are you familiar with him?
No. I've heard of Emmanuel Double A.
Okay, Emmanuel Clase.
Yes, that's funny.
I'll workshop that joke. Thank you, Sterling.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. He is. Let's see here. 32 strikeouts, 20 2/3 innings over 30 appearances. The reason I mentioned him is because he throws 101 miles an hour. 100 miles an hour. Let's see. That is the fastest anyone has ever thrown a cutter. Yeah, he throws 101 mile an hour.
Oh my God.
Cutters. Which has never been done before, at least in the pitch tracking era. Who knows what was going on before they, you know, have you ever seen the video? I think it was Bob Feller or somebody, and they're trying to time his fastball. So they have him throw next to a guy on a motorcycle, and the motorcycle races the pitch. It's like, okay, well, he's throwing 100 miles an hour. Anyway, Emmanuel Clase is throwing, let's see, average cutter velocity. 2021, Emmanuel Classe, 100 miles an hour, average velocity on his freaking cutter.
That's average velo?
That's his average velocity.
That's how you know I'm a baseball guy, as I say velo.
Yeah, I was wondering. Yeah. I was wondering how. Anyway, so the point is you got that going on. It's harder than ever to hit. And so why did baseball go out of their way to avoid cracking down on pitchers? And now starting tomorrow, watch out. And it's taken weeks. And I really think it's because, look, we would really just soon not do anything. Pitchers have been doctoring baseballs for, as far as baseball goes, almost forever, as long as we've had baseball. So we really don't want to do anything, but we have to because nobody can get hits anymore. So, guys, here's the thing. We're going to ramp up to this. We're going to give you like a month to start backing off of it. We're going to talk about how terrible it is, and then we're going to have our meetings. We're going to issue our memos, and at some point we're going to tell the umpires that they can actually throw you out of game. So please, 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 will you please back off of using the crazy glue on the baseballs? We need you to stop doing that because nobody can get a hit anymore. I really think that's why they went to these lengths. It's about giving pitchers time to back off of it because they don't want to catch them, because that just makes things worse. Cheating isn't necessarily bad for the game, as I've said. Players getting caught cheating is bad for business, though, and that's what they're trying to avoid.
Well, and I think, too, it's reached a point where they're affecting, like, it's affecting games insofar as the league is changing the rules to try to generate more offense. And the explanation for the last couple of years has been like, oh, well, it's the three true outcomes, and guys are just trying to hit home runs, so naturally they're not getting as many hits. And, oh, it's the shift, and, oh, we need to do that. And it's like, no, it's just impossible to make contact now because pitchers are doctoring baseballs to ramp up their RPMs and throw breaking stuff that hitters have never seen before and throw fastballs with more velocity and less sink than hitters have ever seen before. It started affecting games beyond just kind of like, there's a reason they outlawed spitballs. Like, there's a reason they don't let you take a knife out to the mound and, you know, scuff up the baseball to make it do insane things. That's we're not talking about rosin and sunscreen. We're talking about spider tack and teams hiring literal chemists to come up with the proper amount of tack to ramp up RPMs to make pitchers better.
Yeah. I think there's a chance they handle this well starting tomorrow, but I think that's really stupid of me to think that because baseball has botched everything that it has to do with changing the baseballs and then doctoring the baseballs and the rules. Baseball has no idea. I've made this point before. I think the people making these decisions, I don't know, Kyle, that they've ever actually been to a baseball game. I think there is a chance here that they pull this off. There's already indications that pitchers have backed off a little bit, so maybe it's working. I'm probably foolish to think they can make this work, but on some level, maybe I'm just hoping they can pull this off.
The biggest issues I foresee are what?
The biggest issues I foresee. Thanks, Professor.
Who
well,
talks
you were a
like
catcher,
that? I don't talk
and catchers
like that.
Are smart, right? Catchers are smart.
I don't know why I said that. That's not something I say. The biggest issue I think we're going to see.
You're not that guy, pal. Trust me.
Yeah, no, I'm not at all. The biggest thing I think we see is a guy like Tyler Glasnow for the Rays who's blaming his UCL injury on the crackdown. And managers, like, let's say a guy is just cruising and a manager going like, hey, can we check his hat and maybe his glove and try and throw that guy off a little bit? You know, like using it as the stopping the game as a strategy of, you know,
gamesmanship.
Yeah.
Ooh, boy.
And managers have, you know, there's been reporting that say, oh, well, managers say they're not going to do that. Like, yeah, that's what you say until a guy's perfect through five.
Yeah.
You know, it.
Oh, wow.
There are potential hazards for sure, but I think getting there's the extreme, like I said, of the spider tack that's helping pitchers be better. And then there's the, you know, rosin and sunscreen that's just helping pitchers know where the baseball is going to go.
Mm-hmm. Although, you know, pitchers are using the stickiest substances ever invented, and hit by pitches are like at a 100-year high. So I don't know about that. You mentioned the Buster Olney story. Buster Olney, ESPN, reporting that at least three teams are going to break this unwritten rule and start asking umpires to check pitchers. It's so funny how reluctant teams have been historically to do that. People have texted here as we've talked about this and talked about Michael Pineda, 2014, Yankees are playing the Red Sox, and it's a wet day, I guess, and he can't get a good grip. So one of his teammates slathers pine tar on his neck, and he goes out there, you know, and it's a Red Sox and Yankees, so of course it's on ESPN, because every Red Sox-Yankees game for the last 50 years has been on ESPN. Anyway, on a TV, you can see it, right? It's like, oh, my goodness. And John Farrell, the manager of the Red Sox, goes out and says, hey, you got to check that. And he said later, he goes, dude, I didn't want to do that, but I had to because it was sticking. It was on his neck. I don't want to go challenge that because they're going to check our guys, but right. I had no choice. And Joe Girardi, the Yankees manager, like, yeah, he had to. He had no choice. But that shows how reluctant they are to even do this in the first place.
If you're going to be that blatant about it, like, come on. Like, that's, do better. Put it inside your glove like a normal person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm interested to see how teams are going to enforce this. Because let's say it's Trevor Bauer, and his fastball is normally like 2,500 RPMs. And can a team track it live and say, hey, his fastball is now 2,800. He's using something. Go check it.
That's a great point. Where did I read that? That yes, teams are expected to ask. Yeah, here it is. Teams will use video capturing an opposing pitcher, perhaps using foreign substances, or data about an unusual spike in spin rate. So yeah, that's one of the things that teams will be monitoring. What's his spin rate? Oh, that's a little high. Tell the ump to go check him out.
Right.
That's where we are now. That's where we are.
The other thing is, what's going to happen? Are we going to, you mentioned Alex Wood, since they've kind of said, hey, we're going to crack down, he's been not as good. Is that going to happen around the league? Are we just going to see all of a sudden Garrett Cole is this suddenly mortal hittable pitcher? I'm fascinated to see what kind of repercussions this has.
Right. And you know, you probably know this better than I do. And in L.A., they refer to the Dodgers, teams around baseball refer to L.A. as Spin City.
Yeah.
Because of So we'll see if the Dodgers, if they struggle, if their pitching staff struggles after this crackdown. 888-957-9570. If there even is a crackdown. Remember, my theory is baseball, just as soon, you guys just stop doing it, and then we're good. 888-957-9570. Anton is out on Highway 4. He joins us on 95.7 A Game. Anton, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. You know, the way I feel about this is the way I felt about the steroids era and baseball. You know, guys using legal substance, you know, the Clear and the Android or whatever, you know, whatever Mark McGwire was using. If it gives you an edge, it's cheating, period. You know what I mean? If a pitcher can have an edge to throw the ball, how come a batter can't have an edge to hit the ball? You know, how come he can't go up to the plate with a cork bat? You know, I mean, where does it stop? It has to stop, or just let them cheat. And we could argue this all day, but the steroid era was the best era in baseball in my lifetime, and I'm 54 years old.
Man.
So to me, if you're not going to crack down on the pitchers for cheating, don't crack down on the batters.
Right. Thank you. And that gets back to my point. As you said, the steroid era, before we really knew what was going on, it was great. Cheating isn't necessarily bad for business, Kyle. It's just people getting caught. That's what's bad for business.
Exactly. No. Nobody cared about the Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire cheating thing until after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you're hitting the nail on the head. The reason this is becoming a thing now, people go, oh, people have been putting stuff on baseballs for years. Like, this is now we have the technology to see how it's impacting the game. And you have baseball, Major League Baseball, capital B baseball, changing rules and stuff in the minors to try and drum up offense when really all they need to do is enforce the rules that have been in place.
Right. By the way, I put together a table last week, you know, the names of some of these substances, and then we'll get to swipe right or swipe left in just a moment here. But I put together a table. You know, the names of these things are like Pelican Grip, Spider Tack, what? So this allows you, Kyle, to just randomly invent your own substance. And then after you invent it, you tell me if it, you think it sounds sticky enough and if it's something you would use to doctor the baseball.
Great. Okay.
So no wrong answers. All you got to do, first of all, is give me a number 1 to 20, just any number between 1 and 20.
Eight.
Eight, okay. And a letter between A and T.
L.
L. Okay, you have just invented here Humboldt squid slurry. That's what you have invented. It's
I'm
a new
squirreling.
Humboldt squid slurry. Do you think that's some A? Does it sound sticky? B, is it something you would put on the baseball?
I am not purchasing that because I don't need it on my bank statement that I purchased something called a Humboldt squid slurry.
Slurry. Slurry. It's a slurry, which is kind of a mixture of,
Yeah, I'm not doing
that. Yeah, I'll tell you what, you know, the pine tar is one thing, but you get that Humboldt squid slurry with a little, you know, sunscreen in there, and oh my goodness, that'll do the trick, Kyle.
What's 12M get me?
12M is swamp rat gloop.
Can you say that on the radio?
Sure. You can't go wrong. Yeah, can't go wrong with either one of those.
What about 10 B?
10, boy, that one I don't know if I can say. Centipede gland goo. So I think that's a good...
I love it!
Point at which to move on. Those are very sticky.
Go tell somebody you put centipede gland glue on the baseball and it's a felony.
Yeah, we'll see. Although, especially if you put it on your neck like Michael Pineda. That's really dangerous. Anyway, Evan, I know you've prepared...
It's also a tongue twister.
Yeah, you've prepared something. They all are. Yeah, the Humboldt squid slurry. You prepared something special for us on this Father's Day. This is kind of a variation on the get off my lawn that we do with Coase, right?
Yes, it is. And Sterling, if you'd be so kind as to bring in the jams.
Let's go. Mm-hmm.
So for those of you in the know, and by that I mean single and perhaps ready to mingle, the fellows are going to be swiping left for yes or right for no on the hottest Sunday sports topics, and as today is that one of appreciation for our respective patriarchs, I begin with number one, pre-Father's Day celebrations. So my co-captain here in studio, Sterling, got me thinking about this yesterday because he and his family decided to have somewhat of a celebration yesterday on the Saturday before Father's Day, as to, you know, maybe to avoid the hordes of people swooning on every available restaurant reservation. So I ask you first, Whitey, celebrating Father's Day on Saturday instead of Sunday, swipe left or right?
Isn't swiping right yes?
Is it?
Okay. Now I don't know which way to go.
I met my fiance on Tinder, so.
All right, so left is no?
Left is no, right is yes.
That's definitely correct.
All right, thank you, Kyle. I'm definitely going no on this. Nothing against Sterling, and I trust that he and his family had a great time. But you know what? Let's be honest. And I love Father's Day, and people are nice to me, but it's barely a holiday at all. You know, nothing happened on this date. There's nothing we're observing. So at the very least, just if you're going to do something for Father's Day, at least do it on Father's Day. It's very, very, and nothing against Sterling. I'm sure there were extenuating circumstances.
Hater.
And I love Sterling. But if you're going to celebrate Father's Day, you have to do it on freaking Father's Day. Hello. Swiping no left.
Hello.
Who are you swiping, Kyle?
I'm swiping right on that. I'm not a dad, but
Boo.
it's just, it's so much
Boo.
Easier. And we didn't do it this year, but like we did Mother's Day on Saturday because I work on Sundays. So celebrating it on a Saturday, that gives you time. You can go deep into the night if you want, hanging out, having a good time. You know, you get up Sunday, you still do a card. You can maybe do a nice little dinner on Sunday. But I think the quote-unquote celebration has to come Saturday. And again, sorry,
lazy.
Dad, that you spent yesterday doing a garage sale. And
lazy.
All right, number two. We're going to stick on the Father's Day parade here, as a big part of it throughout the weekend and the show, really, has been hitting on baseball. But this weekend, we haven't really been able to watch the Giants specifically, unless you're a Peacock subscriber. And for one, I was a little slightly disappointed. I know Sterling was as well. So, Kyle, I ask you first. Streaming services privatizing baseball games on Father's Day weekend. Swiping left or right?
I love it. I love the Peacock app. I use it all the time. And I have Xfinity, so you get the Peacock app for free. Just popped it on. It's actually easier for me because my TV in my office does not have cable. I have a streaming stick that I have the Peacock app on, and it was so much easier to fire it up there. So yeah, I loved it. And for people who are cord cutting, it makes it easy to watch as well.
Whitey?
Well, first of all, I got to be careful because it sounds like, Kyle, that basically was like an endorsement for Xfinity. That was, I really like the app and or product. So I don't know, you know, I better be careful what I say here. But I also have Xfinity, so I get Peacock free, as Kyle said. It's terrific, but there are some people like my mother-in-law who's been enjoying this Giants season, and she didn't have Peacock, and it's been this weekend's like, I guess no Giants. So that's very unfortunate. Why can't it... I don't know. I think, and I also surprised everybody. Nobody knew about this until like Thursday,
right?
So that element of it was very unfortunate. So ultimately, I'm sorry. I gotta swipe left. I love Xfinity. I love Peacock. But in this case, you're taking away people's baseball games on a big weekend. I gotta swipe left.
Well, we appreciate it, guys. That'll wrap up this edition of Swipe Right or Left. And finally, I do have to give a shout-out to my dad here on Father's Day. He's currently enjoying a baseball game down at Petco Park in sunny San Diego. And I think the Padres are doing pretty well. So, shout-out to my dad.
Thank you, Evan James. Sterling Bennett. And, yes, there's no question Xfinity is great. I'll tell you one thing about Xfinity real quickly. I used to do endorsements for him, Kyle, real quick, because I know nobody cares. And then, you know, I'm not working full-time at the station, and yet they still have taken care of me over the years,
as
they did when I was. Yeah, so appreciate that. Appreciate that very much. That's just about going to do it for us, Kyle. What have you learned today?
You know what? I learned that I'm out on you. no,
really?
One of my favorite things about new technology is, because I have Xfinity too, is being able to talk into my remote, which is great. I don't have to remember channel numbers. I don't have to click any buttons. You just hold down and I'm like, yeah, hey, the A's game or the Giants game or whatever, NBA playoffs. It just takes it right there. It's allowing me to be more lazy whilst being lazy is just an A+ invention that I like very much. I learned today that, man, you know what? I didn't learn a lot today. I'm going to be honest with you.
That's
I'm
all right.
Squirreling. Yeah, there you go. I learned all about
Hello?
Squirreling.
That
yeah.
was the answer.
Yeah,
I was
thanks.
Hoping you'd come up with that. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you to Evan and thank you to Sterling and Kyle. You know, I always appreciate the opportunity to work with you. And as we look ahead to this week, you know, we got the NBA draft lottery. In general, are you a fan of the lottery? Frankly, I could do without it, but I watch it every stinking year. I find myself glued to it as I go, this thing's stupid. What time does it start?
This thing's stupid. Who's coming over to watch it? Yeah, you know, I get it and I get why they have it. I'm locked in, especially for the Warriors this year. It is a huge, huge like turning point for Golden State because we talked about it. You know, if they have 8-14, it feels a lot different than 4-14 or in the slim, you know, basically no hope chance of 1-4. All those things just dramatically change not only their present but their long term future too. So, I will be very locked in.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Kyle. I've enjoyed it. Hope you have a great Father's Day. And
you as well, sir.
Yeah. And your father actually gave you a Nolan Ryan rookie card once, huh? One of the coolest sports things your dad ever did for you. That's awesome.
It was. It was really cool.
Yeah. Enjoy the rest of your Father's Day. Fox Sports Radio is next. In fact, I believe Rosin and Sweat are up next for your Father's Day entertainment on 95.7 The Game.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.